From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, May 14th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Toksknusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube, behind the scenes in the studio. Get a sneak peek at kto.org/jpmlive or on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. Today, Juno Jazz and Classics continues tonight with the Jack Quartet, who join us for a little music and conversation. It's time for the annual Law Enforcement Torch Run this Saturday. We have a preview. We chat with Bartlett Rehab Services about National Speech Language Hearing Month, and we chat with Spruce Root about this year's Path to Prosperity program, which is accepting applications this month. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
And now, live from the red carpet stage here in Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, the Jack Quartet. Thank you. Nice. That's really great. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us for a behind-the-scenes sneak peek in the studio on our live stream on KTO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Hello, everyone. Tonight at the Shrine of St. Therese, Juno Jazz and Classics continues with the Jack Quartet, a group that champions string quartet music from 20th and 21st century composers. We are in that 21st century, aren't we?
Unfortunately, yeah.
So I'm going to have the gentlemen introduce themselves, since I don't know which one is which. So let's start over here on my right. You are?
My name is John Pickford Richards. I play viola in the quartet.
Absolutely awesome.
Hi, I'm Austin Wolleman, one of the violinists.
Okay, and Rita? Yeah.
My name is Jay Campbell. I play cello.
Cello, and if you can reach that mic over there.
Yeah, I'm Chris Otto. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Chris
violin,
Otto?
Yeah.
And you're playing the violin? Awesome. Okay, so you guys are playing tonight at 5:30 and 7:30 out at the Shrine. Have you been out there yet?
Not yet. Excited to see it. We've heard a lot.
It's beautiful out there. And hopefully the weather will be nice and it'll be wonderful. It's one of the first places I ever visited when I came to Juno for the first time and fell in love with it out there. It's really beautiful. That's really awesome. So the Jack Quartet, where are y'all from?
We live in New York right now.
Okay.
Maybe Juno soon. Pretty lovely here.
It is pretty nice here. It is pretty great. And so this idea of focusing on 20th and 21st century composers, how did that begin this idea for the group?
Sorry, go ahead.
From the very beginning of the group, there was a fascination with brand new pieces and working with living composers who could tell us about what they sounded like, what they wanted it to be like, and to explore new and interesting things that we'd never got to try before in our regular schooling as musicians.
I love that. And it seems like the composers of today, I know there's a lot of people making music, but it seems like there is a lot of it is done in movie scores now. Right, so a lot of movie scores in terms of contemporary the quote-unquote classical style, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also composers like the one you're going to be playing tonight, right? John Luther Adams, who used to live in Alaska for, oh my gosh, I don't know, it was like 40 years or something. He lived up north and is really well known. Now I think he lives in, is it Mexico where he lives now?
He lives in New Mexico.
New Mexico, okay.
Yeah, he's in the desert now. We just played a piece of an earlier string quartet by his right now.
Okay, and what was that we just heard?
Wind in High Places.
Wind in High Places, the movement
called McLaren Summit, which is a mountain here in Alaska.
Awesome. That's so cool. And tonight, I heard, am I right, there's a world premiere?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Right in that. Can you get on a little bit more on
it's
that?
It's called Never and Always Becoming. It's a new string quartet that he wrote for us. And first performance is here. I think this is the ninth quartet.
Wow. That's pretty great. Because I noticed that there's some albums where you have done all of his work, right? That some of your albums are just his compositions.
Yeah, we have three separate releases that are all his music. Everything that rises is a long form piece based on the naturally occurring notes of the harmonic series. There's this, The Wind in High Places, Untouched, which is also all harmonics, which is the technique you just heard us playing with those higher whistling tones.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, as well as Waves and Particles, which is our release from last year, which is based on particle physics and the coming together and going apart of lots of small kind of particles of music with really interesting rhythms. It's kind of like a dance of atoms.
That's so fascinating. Wow, I love this. This is so cool. And so I would just love to also know, just as my more personal question here, is how did you pick the instrument that you're playing now? Why did that instrument call to you originally?
When I was a kid, I was playing piano and some other instruments in the school orchestra. And then when the one violist in my school graduated elementary school, they needed one, so I just jumped in. It really was more of a practical, forced
The choice. Necessity for you, huh, John? That's so funny.
You know, but I helped out, and it led to something.
What about for you, Austin?
For me, it started when my best friend decided to take violin lessons, and I had to be better than her at everything, so I won.
I see. I got that. And what about you?
Mine was kind of to go to a particular school. You had to play an instrument, so I kind of arbitrarily picked the cello.
The cello, okay.
Yeah, I don't really have a very good story. It's just I picked the cello and then I stuck with it.
It's a great instrument, though.
Yeah, no, I picked a good one.
Yeah, it's a nice one. And you're Chris, right?
I'm Jay.
Oh, you're Jay. Okay, that's Jay. That was Jay Campbell. And Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I started on piano when I was around 5, but then my older brother started playing violin, and I wanted to also play violin. I just begged my parents to get to start around age 8, so... Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it felt really good to play, yeah.
Cool. And how did you all come together as a group? Did you all know each other?
Yeah, well, the founding members of the quartet were in school together in music conservatory 20 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
And sort of naturally formed this group out of a mutual interest in working with living composers and also playing works that are underrepresented, that are perhaps too challenging or abstract. For a lot of touring string quartets. And it really wasn't like a plan to become a quartet. It just sort of evolved naturally.
Well, that's sometimes that's the best way to have it happen, right? For sure. And the fact that you're focused on new music, new composers, I think that's really cool. Because you probably trained in the classics, right? You trained on the classic composers, and that brings a certain kind of lift or a certain kind of viewpoint to new work? And are you, when you're working with these new composers, is it like a collaboration, Austin, where you're chatting about what would be good here, or are you just trying to manifest what their vision is for the piece?
Well, each relationship is different, but I would say that our kind of basic way of working is that we're really trying to realize the composer's vision to the best of our ability. And that often means expanding what we think of as our practice as instrumentalists. So starting from that point of those classical chops and trying to take care of those and honoring that kind of training, but keeping a sense of curiosity for what each composer wants to bring, whether that's something freer, something really not free, very stuck to a score. Some people really want input from us. Other people want to deliver something that's very final, and then we see the notes on the page with lots of dynamics and articulations, and we just do it. It really depends on the personality of each person we work with.
But that's kind of the fun thing about having them be alive, right, is that you're able to have that communication and that kind of chatter. Now, I noticed that there's nobody in the group named Jack. So how did that come? Was that a first letter of everybody who was in the group to start?
Yeah. Again, going back to the founding members, it was an acronym for the first names. Now we have JJAC, which technically, you know,
I'm assuming that Jay's the newest member.
Yes.
So there was a Kevin in there or a Kyle or something like
Kevin,
that.
Kevin, you got it.
Kevin, all right. Yeah, that's pretty good. Very popular name for that age group, I think, in terms of in the K names. Well, it is the Jack Quartet. They're out at the Shrine of St. Therese tonight. It's part of the continuing Juno Jazz and Classics, which wraps up this week, I believe. There's two concerts at 5:30 and 7:30. You can find out more at jazzandclassics.org. And you can find out more about these gents over at jackquartet.com. Maybe we could get one more song and a little something as we go out. That'd be fantastic.
Sure, yeah. We could play part of Philip Glass's Fifth String Quartet, which we're playing tonight at the Shrine. So this will be the first two movements don't have a break. So.
Okay, great. Yeah. Let me get this back set up here. Get you back on this mic. There you go. Okay, hit it. Gunnath Cheesh, thank you so much for coming in today to Jack Quartet. Appreciate it tonight at the Shrine. For more, go to jazzandclassics.org. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's the Thlinkit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Thlinkit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwan Ish George Davis. And the word this week is Atanhiddi.
Atanhiddi.
That means smokehouse. And here is a sentence. He hung his fish in the smokehouse. Let's hear it again. Smokehouse. Gunnath Cheesh to Chené Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Takhtain Tan and the child of a Tsagwe Di man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Thlinkit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Thlinkit Word of the Week from KTOO.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Law enforcement torch run for Special Olympics is happening this Saturday, May 17th. The annual run is listed as the largest grassroots fundraiser in the world, having raised over $1 billion worldwide. And today, I have in the house, of course, Fubao is here, along with his manager, otherwise known as his mother, Claire. Gunnath Cheesh, for being here, Fubao. Welcome.
Thank you. This is a big deal. I was saying to people a minute ago, I just can't believe it's snuck up on us so quickly.
It seems like you were just talking about this, like last year, right? It seems like it wasn't that long ago, but a year goes by pretty fast. But instead of Kurt Stage Harvey joining us this year, we have Chris Russell. And what you are in an outfit, a uniform. Are you a lieutenant? What is your title?
No, I'm a working man. I'm a sergeant with the Alaska State Troopers, and I'm the local chapter president of the Alaska Peace Officers Association. I took over Kurt's spot.
I see. So you're the chapter president because this torch run is put on by that group, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And so tell us how this is such a wonderful event in terms of the importance of it to the Alaska Peace Officers Association.
Well, it's just an opportunity for us to support the Special Olympic athletes, the Special Olympics as a whole, and just go out and support the community. And that's part of our mission as the Alaska Police Officer Association, is to go out and support the community and just interact. And, one great part of our job, and if you talk to most state troopers and local police and federal law enforcement, is when we get to go out and have good, positive interactions with the public and support a great organization like the Special Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
And Fubao, what's fun for you about doing the torch run?
I was saying to people, I feel like the funny part is seeing people not since a year ago, like last year we saw a lot of people, but to be come united and come together as a community if we may support a good non-profit.
Right, the Special Olympics. Absolutely. Yeah, and what's your favorite? I know this is a run, but when you do the Special Olympics, what's your favorite event, Fubao?
I'm doing swimming, and last night we just had our local games of swimming and basketball and bowling.
I know you love the bowling. I remember that for sure. So swimming and basketball and bowling. Okay, that's really cool. And Chris, how does it work on Saturday? This is going to be a Saturday. It's out at Thunder Mountain Middle School, and it goes from 10 to 12:30 p.m. And how do people get involved?
They can show up and register. Also, there's information on the website to be able to register online. That's also where you can make donations. And show up at 10, and we're going to go once around the track. I think it's a 5K. So once around the track, down the Brotherhood Bridge and the trail, turn around, one more time around the track, and that's it. So it's
and
a pretty simple
run. And this is a little bit of a change, right? Because wasn't last year...
last year was at Twin Lakes.
Twin Lakes,
and
right.
And 2 years ago, it was at Thunder Mountain High School at the time. But we've decided to return to that area. We like it. So.
Yeah, it's nice out there for sure. It's really cool. And to get the information, you can go to SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org, right?
Exactly.
Okay, and that's the place that you can find out more about this law enforcement torch run. And Fuba, how many years has it been that you've been doing this torch run?
2015? Yes.
This is your 10th anniversary of doing the torch run?
Yes.
Do you get do you get something special for that?
I hope so, but I'm trying to. I want to make sure people understand it's at Thunder Mountain Middle School, not high school.
They did change the name. Yeah, the Thunder Mountain Middle School, for sure. That's where it is.
And then also, if people are going to show up and want to register, the registration starts at 9:30.
Oh, 9:30, because the race starts
at 10 o'clock.
That's
okay.
Correct.
And anybody is allowed to participate, right, Chris?
Anybody.
Yeah. I want to make sure people understand everybody's welcome. They have a good path wheelchairs also.
Okay, awesome.
People need help with moving on. People, you don't have to do all the 5K.
Right, you don't have to do the whole thing.
Yes.
And also, there's wheelchair paths available for folks to participate.
Come in your stroller.
Oh, right, you can bring your kids, strollers.
Run,
yeah.
All
right.
That.
Everything. Yep.
All that. Yep. It's a wonderful thing. And the Alaska Peace Officers Association, is this one of the bigger things that they do throughout the year, or what other things?
Well, what we're mostly known for, the local chapter, is the Shop with a Cop.
Oh, yeah,
that's
Shop
kind
with
of our
the
bread
cop.
And butter. That's the one we really put a lot of time in. Special Olympics, we have a lot of people that help us. But with Shop with the Cop, that's kind of the local Capital City chapter of the APOA's main event.
As the chair or the board, the president of the board or whatever it is that you are, I'll be seeing you later this year then to talk about Shop with the Cop. And probably with this guy.
I hope so.
Again, can I say something?
Yeah.
We need to have jam-packed Thunder Mountain. Just 150 people, come on out and have fun.
Yeah, it's an awesome event. It's really fun. Thank you, Fu Bao, for always being an advocate, for always coming
Thank
on
you.
The radio and sharing these events with us. It's the Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics. It's happening this Saturday, May 17th at Thunder Mountain Middle School. And it will be from 10 o'clock, but you can register at 9:30, or you can probably register at the website, right?
And the website, of course.
Yeah,
yep.
And that's SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org. Well, Gunath Chisha, EAD, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you all in the studio today.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure
thank
to see you.
You,
Fubao. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Sergeant Russell.
Thank you very much.
Hey, boss, if we have any upcoming events, I will try to get a hold of you in the future.
Okay, always. You can always get a hold of me. I love that. I really
Thank
appreciate
you,
it. Thank you so much. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak. Gunish cheese.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. May is National Speech Language Hearing Month, and it's time to highlight the importance of effective communication and to talk to those who make it possible. I found this quote, which I thought was interesting, from, I think, a therapist named Sarah Bott. And she said, it's a nationwide effort to bring visibility to speech, language, and hearing disorders while advocating for early intervention, equitable access to care, and greater understanding for those often overlooked challenges, which I thought was pretty cool roundup of what this month and its awareness is all about. And joining me now in the studio are two awesome speech therapists. From Bartlett Regional Hospital, Shona Osterhout and Marisha Bourgeois.
Nice. Thanks for having us, Boston.
Gunas cheese shot, yeah, D. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio. I really appreciate it. So this is great. I think this is maybe the third year we've talked about this month. I know it used to be called a little something different. Now it's called National Speech Language Hearing Month. What does it mean for you all to have this month happening every year?
Well, I will say that, there's a lot. Speech is one of, we also deal with swallowing, which we can talk about at some other time. But I mean, later. But, you know, speech is one of those things that people don't realize that it impacts them until it's gone. And so for me, it's like if people are starting to notice that their word finding is more difficult, that their voice is harder for people to understand, that their swallow is difficult, it's more difficult, then that's a great time, you know, to get some help, right? Because, you know, we just don't even know it's going away until it's actually gone. We don't think about it.
Right. And it's affected, and it can be affected in so many different ways, right? We've talked in the past about traumatic brain injuries causing that. We've talked about other kinds of disorders that can cause that as you age. There can also just be people who are born that way. And so there's a variety of things that can cause those kinds of issues, right? Mm-hmm. And Marisha, you guys have tons of different programs. Can you give me an idea of all the different kinds of people that you treat?
Yeah. So, part of this month for me is, it's educating people on our scope of practice. So with that would be voice disorders, communication disorder. So that would be, someone with, we have some of those fun words we'll bring up again, aphasia, apraxia, dysarthria, dysphagia. What am I missing? What don't we do, Boston? cognition, and I think for this month, what's important too, because a lot of communication disorders present, as we have said, differently. And for some people, you might not know that they have a communication disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So they walk around just like everybody else. But then when they're stopped, there's a little hesitation from the communication partner. So for me, part of this month, too, is advocating for those what we call with hidden disabilities.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about was because on one of the main sites for National Speech Language Hearing Month, I was noticing some areas. And so I just thought maybe it would be fun to talk about that a little bit. And then also if you have any specific events or anything that's happening, I want to hear about that too. But because I think about people, like Shona said, you don't realize it till it's not there, right? Mm-hmm. But then also it's the other folks who are interacting with people who may have a speech issue, right? So I'm just curious about what can we give them in terms of advocacy and for awareness this month about tips for communicating with someone who has hearing loss? How do I, as someone who can hear and don't have a problem speaking yet, although I have things that have come up for me for sure, what kind of tips do I have for someone who communicating with someone who has hearing loss?
Sure. So, it's really, we kind of call the people, that communicate with someone that has a communication disorder, we call them kind of two different things. We would call them their care partner if it was like their spouse or their parent or, you know, that's a care partner. But it's also their communication partner, right? So for, you know, for every different person, kind of that, how we interact and how we choose, you know, to communicate is different. But there's a few things that are pretty common, right? We want to be in environments that are really good for people in communication, right? So, like, I think of, you know, restaurants that are really loud, right? Nobody is going to communicate really well if they're competing with a bunch of different sounds, right? So things that are really loud. You know, you also hear, I think, a very stereotypical way of people communicating with someone who has a communication disorder is that people talk really loudly. and that's actually not really very helpful because usually if someone has some hearing loss, they've probably really tuned their hearing aids because we have great people, that audiologists that do that. But talking slowly is key, right? So it's like not about talking louder, but it's about talking, you know, slowly. And And also, the number one thing is to make sure we're not condescending, because I think the biggest thing is, like, it's not, you know, the disorder is not a disorder of intelligence, right? It's usually something else that is causing the problem. So, like, if someone has a stroke and they have aphasia, you know, they haven't lost their intelligence level. It's just they can't get the words out. So, you know, talking to them, you know, in a, like we would talk would be kind of the best way to do it.
Yeah. And some of the other things are just environmental manipulations. You know, you want a well-lit room facing the partner so they can read your lips. Because most of the time, people with hearing loss, they have already started to, without really knowing, reading people's lips. So you want to make sure you're, you know, right across from them in a well-lit room. Those are two easy environmental modifications.
What about the other side of things? Tips with communicating with those folks who might have a speech or language issue in terms of, you know, hearing the word, like me hearing the words. Do you know what I'm saying? Am I asking that correctly? I'm trying to say, like, for those who may not be speaking in a way that I might be able to understand. Because they're relearning, or they're trying to, you know, or they can't, they just can't do that muscle. How do I, what are the tips for me for that?
Ask clarifying questions. Are you saying this? Offer binomial choice. Are you talking about French fries? This is random. French fries or onion rings?
You know what I mean?
Those two things are really helpful.
Yeah.
Ask yes or no questions. Provide visual supports for people, you know?
Yeah. That's cool. Okay. And then so what are some of the programs that people might need to know about that are happening at Bartlett in your behavioral or recovery services department?
Well, we offer, so we it's an, you know, we kind of don't have programs per se, but we do provide treatment for people that, you know, our age is about, you know, 102. I was going to say, I think we, and so it's kind of broken down because, you know, you can have a communication issue that you might be born with, right? But you can also have an acquired, which might be like post-TBI or a stroke or something like that. And so it just kind of depends. We meet everybody where they're at. If they're not communicating the way that they want to, you know, or they can't be understood, or it's impacting their school or their work, you know, that's kind of where we step in.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, because we have, you know, the acute patients, and then we have the outpatients, which are medically stable. They come in, and then we're working with where they are, you know, after this medical incident has happened. And some of them want to return to work, so we want to figure out what would be the best strategies to develop for them to implement when they go back to work. That sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And because most of the, I think most of the people that you end up seeing are probably done through their health provider or referred to your department, right?
Exactly.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, unless they are an inpatient at the hospital.
Right,
which we'll see a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then there's also something that a lot of people don't really think that speech-language pathologists do, but we work on swallowing. And that is something, as people age, swallowing can sometimes get a little bit harder, just because they're like any other muscle. So, as we age, those muscles can get tight, they can atrophy, they can do a bunch of different things, and we also rehabilitate swallows.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, and the muscles change over time depending on, what you put in your body.
Yeah. Oh, that's I need to hear that. So, and is there a specific page that we can find out more about Bartlett Rehab Services? Is there a link, or do we just go to the BRH main page? And
yeah, I think the BRH main page, you can always find the rehab services. There's not quite a list of services, but there's a phone number to call, and we're happy to talk with anybody if they have any questions.
That sounds great. Yeah, because you can just, or you can just Google Bartlett Rehab Services, and I'm sure it will come up, and the phone number will be there, and you can give a call and talk to somebody.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. Shona Marisha, thank you so much for coming in. Come back anytime. I love talking about this stuff. I do want to hear more about the swallowing and the issues with that, because we'll talk about it off the air.
Sounds good.
Anyway, really appreciate you being here, Gunathcheesh.
Thank you.
Is there a place we can find out more about National Speech Language Hearing Month?
Yes, ASHA. That's the
American Speech Hearing Association.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's great. And I think you just Google that too, and it'll come up. Because that's where I saw. I was on there. So
that's our governing body. So
absolutely awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gunathcheesh, for being in today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
From KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, May 14th, and on this day in 1913, Bart L. Thane, a local mining man, presented the city of Juneau with a brand new rock crusher. The piece of equipment made it possible for the city to replace the plank roadways with lasting pavement. That's a look back at this day in 1913. This is KTOO.
Listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. You can also join us behind the scenes in the studio on the live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Spruce Root is accepting applications for round one of the Path to Prosperity Business Competition. Applications are due at the end of this month. What is the Path to Prosperity program and who can apply this year? Well, we welcome now to the studio from Spruce Root. We have Mark Wheeler, Program Manager for Small Business. I also have Spruce Root board member Joe Nelson, who's also the interim president of Sea Alaska Corporation. And then joining us, let me turn this on so I can hear her, joining us via the interwebs is Izzy Haywood, who is the program manager for facilitation and events. Izzy, I want to make sure we can hear you. Can we hear you?
Hello.
And they have headphones on so they can hear you too. Izzy, where are you out of?
I am calling in from Sitka Kwan in Sitka.
And Sitka, okay, also. Because I know that Spruce Root, Mark, has offices all around Southeast, right? And people who work all around Southeast.
Yeah, we have offices in Juneau and Sitka, and we have folks all around from Craig to Haynes.
Right. And quickly, Mark, if you could, just give us what is Spruce Root?
Maybe Joe can take that.
Oh, Joe, the board member. Challenge the board member. What is Spruce Root, Joe?
Yeah, thanks, Boston. Boston and Juno here. Good to see you. Spruce Root actually was born out of Sea Alaska. And there's a history there that I can't go into the whole history. But as you know, Sea Alaska is the native corporation, the regional for-profit company for Southeast Alaska. And in a board meeting through the early 2000s there was a lot of debate about how do we do better and bring an impact and grow the economy in Southeast Alaska. And the frank reality was the company really struggled to have meaningful impact in our villages beyond the dividends, the distributions. And this was one of the things that came straight from the board. It was a mandate, and we set money aside to do it. Go figure it out. Here's $500,000 to set up an entity. Here's another $500,000 to invest. Here's another $500,000 that you're going to get once you start leveraging these dollars to find ways to grow the economy in our villages. And from that became Ha'ani, it was called, which was a department, and then it became its own LLC. From there, it rolled off into the CDFI, this financial instrument distributing the funding, Spruce Root, and rebranded. Because we knew we were able to find other dollars from federal sources and other sources to grow this instrument where we can access outside dollars to leverage entrepreneurship and grow the village economies. So trying to keep it in a nutshell.
But that sounds good. That really was that.
Sea Alaska trying to meet its mission, and we're struggling to do it. So we spun off a new entity to go help figure it out and find other partners smarter than us to do it.
We're going to have cheese for doing that. It's really great. And Mark, the CDFI, can you just define that for me?
Yeah, so that's a designation from the Department of Treasury. It's a community development financial institution.
Okay.
And there's debate in Congress, too, about whether that should exist. There was an executive order about that. So we're fighting for the program. It's an amazing program that lets nonprofits and other financial institutions fund businesses that are too risky for traditional financing. So we can fund people who are just starting out, where it's really hard to get a bank loan. We can come in and provide that lending for them. And our clients are just as successful as traditional lendees because we pair that with coaching and support from day one. And then once we give the loan to the client, we still support them along the way. And we have a lot of flexibility how we can support folks, and it's just a really great program. We do a lot of other stuff too at Spruce Root. It's really grown from the early stages. So we do the lending, we do small business support and coaching, which is a lot of what I do. We do trainings. We have Izzy, who's helping people facilitate trainings and conferences around the region. We also do career coaching and workforce development. And we do financial wellness coaching, helping people get financial literacy skills. And then we're the backbone of this collective impact network across the region called the Sustainable Southeast Partnership, which is really driving community priorities forward. So we do a lot of stuff, but it's all really in support of the region and hoping to build a regenerative economy across Southeast Alaska.
The regenerative economy, that's the key word there. And Izzy, tell us a little bit about your work and how you're involved with the Path to Prosperity program.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been helping steer this program for the past, I think it's been 5 years now. And so I am the administrator of this business competition, which is now in its 13th year, believe it or not. And so that means that I help designate the focus of it, open it up to everyone, and also host and facilitate the kind of flagship training of it, which is going to be 4 days this year in Anchorage.
Oh, it's going to be in Anchorage. Cool. That's awesome. So tell me, I guess, what is the Path to Prosperity program?
Yeah. So the Path to Prosperity business competition, it's an annual competition for individuals looking to either start or grow businesses that have a positive impact on their communities and support the local economy. And so it opens up every spring, and for applications, from those applications, 12 finalists are selected to go to this in-person training entrepreneur camp, we're calling it, where they learn the essentials of financial planning, business development, pitching. They connect with a whole slew of experts and really get provided just a ton of support to really help make their idea a success. And beyond that training itself, they then submit to round 2 of the competition, where two are selected to win $20,000 to grow those businesses.
Ah, okay. So that's the second part. But this first part is basically getting your idea off the ground. Can people who already have a business apply for this training?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is open to any Alaska Native individual in Southeast Alaska who either has an idea for a business or is already running a business.
Okay,
so
great.
Whatever stage they're at, we'll work with them to get to that next level.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask about too, Joe. This year, in the past, it's been open to all, but this year you're sort of narrowing it and really zeroing in on the Alaska Native population, right, to be able to help grow that regenerative economy.
Yeah, we're really trying to strike a balance. Technically, Spruce Root is qualified as a native CDFI, which is a term of art for the feds through the Treasury to invest in Indian country and Alaska Native villages.
Right.
So there's an avenue there of funding that we really can tap into even more that's specifically targeting Native communities. And as we know, you know, most of the villages in the Southeast traditionally were Native communities, and this really is a pathway, in our view, holistically, to look at the full economy and a way to head stem the brain drain with people leaving the villages, leaving Southeast, by finding avenues to continue just to make a living in your home community in the villages. And we know that we probably can't do this every single year, just like a Native only, but every now and then, it's good to really put the focus there, because one of the other key components that I think the participants view as a benefit is the hard work and sweat and tears that go into the competition is the cohort bonding effort, because you become your own support network with the people you go through the competition with. And when you have a cohort of Native entrepreneurs, there's just another level of understanding and networking that happens when they come from the different villages and Juneau and elsewhere to come to spend that kind of quality time to bond, you know, because we've been duking it out on the basketball courts and all the time. So you might as well find reasons to come together for other things.
Right. And that's a big part of it, right, Mark, is that you get folks in the cohort and then they sort of follow each other as they go on to do whatever they end up doing. Even if they don't become the final two, they're still connected.
It's pretty cool. And, you know, my former business, COPA, we were one of the first participants in the competition. We actually did it 2 years in a row. We applied 2 years in a row. But I still connect with those folks who were in that program from Haynes and Huna. So those bonds do last. And it's just really lonely sometimes being an entrepreneur, because you know, usually you're alone as the sole owner. You can't really talk to your employees about all your troubles. Your wife is probably sick of hearing about it. So having a network of other entrepreneurs to support you and to share stories, to share, you know, challenges and solutions, like how do you get stuff, right? That's the big challenge. How do we get stuff to run our businesses? Because we have to bring it all in here in large part. So, yeah, helping with those challenges and being that kind of person you can call in the dark of night when things are looking bad, but you have that other voice.
It's tough to start a business, you know? It's definitely tough. And Izzy, when we're talking about the kinds of ideas, is it really any idea? You can workshop it in this training, right? I mean, the application process, what do I have to do to get into round one? How hard is the application process?
Yeah, great questions. So first of all, yes, it can be any type of business idea, as long as it is a for-profit business that they plan to start or grow. I will say also, we do have specialized programming available this year for businesses that are working in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or traditional ecological knowledge. And so I know there's a lot of great opportunities in Southeast Alaska for those types of businesses, working with traditional plants or mapping forests using drones, whatever that may be. I'd encourage anyone who has that type of business to apply. But any business is eligible, any business idea.
Cool.
And then to your second point, how hard is it to apply? Fairly simple. The round one application, there's just a couple questions that really get at what is your business idea? Why do you want to do this competition? And then how can or could your business benefit the community and the environment? And I also will say that Mark and I are available. You can find a link to meet with us if people want assistance crafting their applications.
Okay, great. And this round one application is due at the end of this month, so there's still a lot of time.
Couple weeks.
A couple more weeks. And, of course, like Izzy said, you can call Mark or Izzy just to sort of say, hey, I don't know exactly how to do this. What should I be doing, or how can I, you know, you guys are able to give that a little bit of assistance?
Yeah, we can help folks hone their ideas, really answer those questions well. And key part of this is really we want to support businesses that are good for the planet, good for the people, the community, and provide financial income. So this triple bottom line approach is something we really support and really hope to encourage folks to highlight that when they apply for the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. And again, so if you are Alaska native and or know someone who has a business idea, who's always been sitting there going, you know what, if I invented such and such, it would be a $1 million idea, right? And that's the thing that we have. We have a lot of these ideas. This is the year to apply for the Path to Prosperity program. And it's a wonderful program. I've known many of the people who've gone through there, and there's been tons of successes that have come out of this. People who have done the program and then the business are still thriving today.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to, you don't have to be like some tech giant and create this huge company. You know, most small businesses in America are solo entrepreneurs.
Right, right.
And those are supremely important, especially in small communities. So, you know, your business can be very small or very large, and you're all welcome, and you all play a role in your economies.
But it's that thing, too, where, like you said, you have your partner that you talk with, and you're like, I have this idea, and they're like, ah, you know, but then this is the place to go, is what I'm saying. Like, if you've got that idea, this is the place to go. And, of course, you can find out all the information and the application and everything is available at spruceroot.org. And I'm sure there's a big button on there right now about the Path to Prosperity program to get you right to those pages. Yes?
That's right. That's right. It's right front and center.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Nelson, Mark Wheeler, Izzy Haywood, thank you so much. Gunath Cheesh, Hatyadi, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you all in the studio today to talk about the Path to Prosperity program here on Juno Afternoon. Go to spruceroot.org.
Gunath Cheesh.
Thank you,
Gunath Cheesh. Thank you.
Thank you, Izzy. Thank you. Jeez. That'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company.